be talking about.
Hold on for a minute, Larry. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. We do have Larry Grover with us from Citizens of Kern County, a prominent Republican, a guy who has followed the ups and downs of his party and the Clinton presidency for a lot of years. You saw Al Gore's speech last night. You said that you almost fell for what?
Well, I almost fell for it. Last night I saw the Al Gore speech, Phil, and I almost fell for this kinder, gentler Al Gore. I almost fell for this this appeal to bipartisanship. But I will tell you this right now. I went out to a restaurant last night to enjoy George Bush becoming the 43rd president of the United States, Phil, and I felt good about that. First time I think I felt good for our country in a long time. And I tell you, I went over to the River Ridge over in Studio City, and I got to talking to a young lady there. And I was feeling very good. And I guess like a lot of us, I felt good about our country. And if I could tell you this story, Phil, it goes a long way toward explaining what I really think about the Al Gore speech last night.
Go ahead.
I got to talking to a young lady last night, very nice young lady by the name of Vicki Miller. Now, Vicki works at an office, I think, in Sherman Oaks, does some post-production work for a film company. And I told her how I felt. She agreed with me. She's a conservative Republican like I am. And I asked her if she'd like to come back to my mother's place, which is where I'm staying right now, as you know, Phil.
All right, now where are we going with this, and is this going to be clean?
Yes, I'm sorry, Phil. Yes, it is. That's a good...
Because I want to talk about the Gore speech.
This is very indicative, Phil, I think, of how seductive the Gore speech was last night.
All right, you meet a young lady, her name's Vicki, at a restaurant last night?
That's correct.
And you took her to your mother's home?
Which is where I'm staying.
Okay.
And because my mom is in Laughlin with Dorothy, who's a friend of hers. So we went back, and yes, we got a little romantic. And I will tell you this, Phil, and I hope you don't mind, but we were getting ready to have an actual sexual encounter.
You were getting ready to have sex?
Yes, we were. And then it occurred to me, and I remember I just pulled my underwear off, and I'll tell you something right now, Phil, I haven't had an intimate relationship with a woman in a long time.
I understand that. Please...
I'm sorry, Phil.
Get to the point.
I'm sorry, Phil. Okay. But I remember I had just pulled my underwear off, and we were getting ready to...
I got all of that. So you're getting ready to have sex with her.
Right. And then it occurred to me, and I mentioned this to Vicki. I said, do you know that we still have a congressional election in 2002? The Democrats could still take the Congress. Gore was setting us up last night, Phil. And like any normal Republican man, when I told her that, and when I thought to myself... Gore and the Democrats are setting us up in the year 2002. I did experience erectile dysfunction. In other words, I was not able to keep it up there. But I told Vicki it was okay that we could cuddle and snuggle instead. And the whole dirty Democratic plot unfolded in my mind. The Democrats, Phil, can still steal this thing in 2002. Okay.
Well, so you told this young lady that?
Yes, I did.
You were about to have sex with her.
I was about to have sex with her, and I couldn't achieve, and forgive me, but I could not. I had dysfunction.
Okay.
And so I told her this and said, let's snuggle and talk about our future and figure out how to prevent this Democratic plot. Well, she gets out of bed and basically picks up her stuff, and she mumbles something about an early work day and leaves.
Well, you were not able to sexually perform.
No. That's not why she left. She left because she wanted to use my body for her own obviously weird and sick pleasure, and I wanted to talk a little bit about our country. And I realized then that even though she was a conservative Republican, she is selfish.
And Larry, if you don't mind, you don't think she left because you were not able to sexually perform?
I thought about that, but I came to the conclusion... Because she was a conservative Republican, and that's what we were talking about. She left because I think she was selfish, and I think she believed the Gore speech. Okay? Sex is not as important to women as men, first of all, Phil. I think you need to understand that men need sex more than women. So if a guy on any given day can't achieve full function, it doesn't matter to a woman. Sex is not that important to a woman. But what we do need to do is to educate women politically. And that woman left because she was so intimidated by my passion for the Republican Party. I think she's overwhelmed by her love for me. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you is that's how seductive the Al Gore speech was, that she couldn't see his plotting. And yet she was blown away by my intelligence.
All right, we're talking to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You've said a lot of stuff here, Larry.
Right.
You have said that Al Gore was setting everybody up last night for a Democratic takeover of the Congress in 2002.
That is correct.
You've also said that last evening you met a young lady in a restaurant and you were not able to perform sexually with her because you began...
I got worried. I did get worried. And I think it's normal for any Republican man. I think these days it's normal for any Republican man not to be able to perform sexually only because we are vigilant.
All right, so you're not worried about your what you call your dysfunction.
No, I'm not worried at all. But I am vigilant about the Democrats.
All right, but this lady left because you think she was intimidated by your intelligence.
I think she was intimidated by my intelligence. I think I can see that she's falling in love with me. And I can also see, Phil, quite frankly, that she believed Al Gore's bullcrap about wanting bipartisanship and wanting to reach out. She was completely fooled. And when I mentioned it to her, she looked stunned.
All right, but I would say to you, okay?
Right, I'm listening.
I would say to you the reason why she looked stunned is because right before you were about to make love to her, you started talking about the Democratic...
Yeah, but she's a conservative Republican, too.
Yeah, but you started talking about it, and then you said you became dysfunctional.
That is correct.
And that is something that a lot of men would find very humiliating.
Well, I not everybody, Phil, understands women. I think it would be humiliating were it not for the fact that women don't need sex as much as men do. So that if, for instance, you're about to make love to a woman, and then you can't perform because physically you can't achieve a function.
Yeah.
It's perfectly all right with a woman if you say, let's just snuggle.
It's perfectly all right?
That's right.
In other words, she doesn't care?
No, she won't care at all. And I could see Vicky wanted to snuggle, but when I told her about Al Gore's situation, I think she was just stunned by how perceptive I was. But I want to say, Vicky, I know that you're really not selfish. But walking out on me at that moment just shows how fooled you are by the Al Gore situation. I would say that to any Republican right now, Phil. Don't be fooled by Al Gore. I was not.
All right, Larry Grover with us, 1-800-449-8686. Larry, I want to...
You know, you're getting that sound in your voice like you want to start lecturing me.
No, I want to say this, because there is an awful lot going on with what you're talking about. First of all, your erectile dysfunction aside, because I don't know what that represents, Al Gore, I think, was being very genuine last night.
I do not, Phil. I think you're being fooled by that.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's agree to disagree. I think that talking to a woman about politics, you say you just, and the way you put it was...
I just taken my underwear off.
Okay. You know, you're just taking your underwear off. Talking to a woman about that kind of thing just before you make love to her, I don't know, is the best time to do it. Okay? She got up and she left.
You're going to tell me she got up and left because I couldn't get erectile function. But that's not it. Okay, yeah, I couldn't get erectile function. But women don't need it as much as men. She got up and left because she realized that I was intelligent and she may be falling in love with me.
All right, hold on for just a second here. 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Hendry Show. Could you put Larry on hold for a minute? We're talking about a lot of different things here. We're talking about whether or not Al Gore was putting us on last night when he said that he wanted to reach out in a bipartisan manner, or is he setting everybody up for a big Democratic sweep in 2002? And then we got into Larry taking this woman home last night and becoming dysfunctional sexually when he realized that the Democrats might take the Congress in 2002 and that the woman that he was with left because she's falling in love with him. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show, Election 2000. Larry Grover with the Conservatives of Kern County is on the phone with us talking about a woman that he took home from a bar last night, and just before he was going to have sex with her, he could not achieve full erectile function because he thought about the Democrats winning. I mean, Larry...
Yeah, I thought about the Democrats winning. I get the impression from you that, in other words, if I don't talk about things exactly the way you want me to talk about them, then it's inappropriate.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we are pulling together disparate elements here. You have erectile dysfunction. You think Al Gore is fooling the country because he's going to take...
Yeah, that's exactly right. The reason why I couldn't get it up last night with this lady is because I realized that Al Gore lied last night. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you're not shocked.
I don't believe that he lied.
Well, Phil, he's setting up George Bush and the Republican Party for a fall in the year 2002 by this baloney about partisanship. As soon as I thought about that...
Then sexually you couldn't function.
Then it went limp, yeah. And that's right after I pulled my underwear off.
I got about, you know, I know about that, man. And then she left.
I believe Vicky left because she was embarrassed that she had not seen this first. We've been talking politics all night.
All right, so she and you had been talking about this since you left the restaurant.
Since before we left the restaurant, yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Kim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just think this guy's ridiculous. I think he's blaming his problem on Al Gore. And I think the reason this woman left
I was afraid for our country. I think fear is a legitimate reason for a man not to be able to perform sexually. Would you not agree with that?
I think that's a good reason to blame the problem, but I don't think she left because she's falling in love with you. I think she left because you couldn't perform. I mean,
no,
I'm a Republican.
No.
I didn't vote for Al Gore,
right.
But I don't think that you could blame him for your problem.
I'm not blaming him. I'm saying that he's trying to set the country up. And when I realized that, I got afraid for the country in 2002, the Democrats taking over Congress. And it was at that moment when my penis did, yes, unfortunately.
You don't think he could have been...
It doesn't hurt me if you laugh at me. It doesn't hurt me.
No, but I'm just saying, don't you think that he just might have been truly gracious, maybe for once?
That's my point.
Well, I know that's your
time?
Point, Phil. You're a Democrat, Phil. This lady's a Republican. I'm telling you, what is your name, man? Your name is Kim?
It's Kim, right?
My name is Kim.
Hi, Kim. Don't you realize that Al Gore, like any man trying to hit on you in a bar, is trying to get you to believe that he's bipartisan?
No, definitely not. I'm an intelligent, I'm 25, and I'm I'm very politically intelligent,
yeah.
And I don't think that
are you single or are you married?
I'm single.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that
hold on, Kim, hold on. Larry?
Yeah?
What are you doing?
I'm listening.
Go ahead, Kim.
That Al Gore was just trying to be gracious and doing what was right for once in his life. I mean, I think that we have to give him credit.
Did you vote for Bush?
I don't always vote Republican.
You're in Dallas, huh?
I am.
It's kind of warm there?
Excuse me?
Is it warm this time of year there? Because I'm just wondering, do you still wear the summer dresses or are you more into your winter wear?
I don't think that's an appropriate question.
Yeah, why are you asking that?
You know something, Phil? My wife left me 4 years ago.
Why are we talking about your sexual habits, your erectile dysfunction, and everything having to do with your social life when we're trying to get to the bottom of Al Gore's speech last night?
I will not be spoken to like that.
Well, then quit asking this lady what she wears.
Exactly. This guy is ridiculous. This is crazy. It's crazy to even have this.
All I asked you was what you're wearing. All I'm asking you, are you wearing a dress or slacks?
It doesn't matter.
Please.
It doesn't matter.
Please.
Is that going to help
Please.
Your phone?
Please.
I mean,
God.
That's not an appropriate
Please.
Question. Are you an intelligent human being?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well,
yes,
then
ma'am.
You wouldn't be asking that question. If you were truly concerned.
I was this close last night.
Well,
and,
that's great.
And what bothers me is that she walked up because of my intelligence, perceiving that Al Gore was setting up the country. I believe Vicki Miller of Sherman Oaks is falling in love with me.
I do not want you to use her name again.
Why?
Because that's a private citizen, a private person, and she may have walked out on you because she doesn't want to have anything to do with you.
Vicki Miller is in love with...
Quit using her name. All right, Kim, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It doesn't bother me if you laugh at me.
All right, here is Catherine on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Catherine, go ahead.
I think the gentleman that is on your radio program is a real idiot.
Oh,
the dumbest kind of people. It's a shame that you accept those phone calls from people like him. Absolutely. Ignorant, dumb, stupid, everything.
Keep talking.
And that's all I have to say.
No,
I cannot
please.
Understand.
Please, don't stop. Don't stop talking.
How can he brag?
I'm bragging about the fact that I got a woman
you're
home.
Sick.
I'm
really not interested in your
bragging. All right, let's talk about Al Gore. Let's talk about politics, okay?
I'm not interested in discussing that with you. That's my
private. I won't talk about anything private. I'll just talk about politics. How about that?
Go ahead.
Okay. Did you vote for... Well, it's none of my business who you voted for.
Absolutely
I voted for George Bush.
Good for you.
And I believe that Al Gore's speech last night, while being conciliatory, I think he's setting us up to make a run for the Democratic Congress in 2002.
But what has that got to do with your sex life? Who is interested in your sex life? No one but yourself. Keep it to yourself. That's a private thing. It's not to be discussed on radio or with your friends or anyone.
May I ask you a private question?
You could.
Do you ever take your teeth out?
Do I ever what?
Do you ever take your teeth out?
Why do I have to take my teeth out?
Well, I can name a couple of
reasons. Okay.
I think you're really an ignorant
What a
person.
Sick...
I just wanted to know.
And I say one thing to you. You are really ignorant. Really, really sad.
Ma'am.
To have someone like you on
last
the radio...
Last night.
People have to listen to this... I hate to say the word. Crap. Excuse me.
Oh, no, not that.
And that's
How
it. I don't want to talk
that.
To you anymore.
You
I don't
word.
Want
you
to have a
dirty
thing
word.
To
oh,
say
I think
to
you,
you.
Sir, you're going to go to hell for saying a word like that.
I think...
You will. Well, guess what? I think you're full of do.
Really?
Do-do.
It is sad.
Yeah.
That people have to listen to this stupidity.
If your jaw unhinged like a snake, maybe we'd have something to talk about.
If what?
I said, if your jaw unhinged like a snake, maybe...
Okay, you don't have to say anything, ma'am. Larry, I think you're losing your mind. I think it's been so long since you've been in the company of a woman, you're losing your mind.
I really think he's sick.
Remember in Reservoir Dogs when the guy said it backed up into his brain? I think that's what's happening to you, man.
It may be, Phil, but I'm simply saying to this lady that it's, you know as well as I do, Catherine, sex isn't that important to women, is it?
I wouldn't know.
Okay,
I
there you
know
go.
My...
See?
I
That's why when I couldn't
feel.
Get it up.
I don't discuss it with other people.
Well, I couldn't get it up last night.
Oh, go shoot yourself. Please, I'm getting off the phone. I cannot take you
and
anymore.
And then, when I went into the bathroom...
Sick.
You're
Bye
sick,
now.
Larry, you bastard.
How dare you?
I apologize to the lady. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County and the Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. There's so many things that I've been remiss in telling you about. We have mentioned our webcast, and I will tell you about our signing, our 9 to 11 p.m. signing on December 22nd at GameWorks at the Block at Orange, and that'll be on December 22nd, 9 to 11, the Best of the Year 2000 CD signed by me. And while you're waiting, GameWorks will offer you a $20 game card. $5 of your card purchase will go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And then the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD is, of course, available, with the proceeds going to my friend's place at 877-616-7445. And we have, to date, made $62,090.50 in the sale of our CD. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County is with us. We're talking about the Al Gore speech specifically last night, where, Larry, you believe that Mr. Gore was conciliatory sounding, but in point of fact is trying to lull everybody into a false sense of security before he takes before the Congress is turned Democratic in 2002. You were discussing this last night with a conservative Republican female at a restaurant. You took her home.
No, I wasn't discussing it with her. I began to think about that. I was discussing with her Gore's speech, and I was discussing with her how happy I was to see President Bush ascend to the presidency. But when I got home, I realized that Gore might be setting us up, and that's when I had erectile dysfunction. I could not consummate our relationship. She left, so I know she's falling in love with me.
Okay, so you were not able to make love to her because of erectile dysfunction, and you believe she's falling in love with you.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Man.
What?
Okay, I mean, whatever you want to believe, man. Sandy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Larry, I'm really kind of shocked. I thought you were politically astute, because evidently you only listened to Gore speak. Evidently you didn't listen to Bush's, because Bush's big claim to fame, if I'm not badly mistaken, is that he's able to bring together both parties. So Bush
absolutely.
Care
but
one
that is
way
what that's going to be Bush's job when he is the president of the United States. When he's the president of the United States, that's his job. When you don't have a job and you're still talking conciliatory tones, then there's something suspicious going on.
Well, he shouldn't have any problem, because that's what he did best in Texas.
Okay.
And that's what he's supposed to do.
I don't believe that. I don't believe
Congress
he'll have a problem, but I'm just talking about Gore not being able to keep the country together. Gore talking about keeping the country together.
Okay, here is Denise on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think Gore should have anything to do with his sexual performance. People are going to make what they will of both speeches. There are people who think...
You expect me to be able to perform sexually, realizing that Democrats are going to take Congress in 2002? Well, I don't know where you're coming from.
What makes you think they're going to take control?
That's exactly what Gore's talking about last night.
No, he didn't say anything.
Are you a Republican? Are you a Republican?
I'm independent.
What about your husband?
He's independent.
Okay, so that means he's a Republican. Is he able to perform sexually?
He didn't vote for Bush. I know that.
Does he vote for any kind of Bush? I'm just joking. Do you believe that it's...
Okay, what's the point of this?
I'm just asking her who she voted for.
I voted for Gore.
Well, okay. Then Gore is going to try to make a run at the Congress in 2002. I voted for Bush. I want the country to be on alert for that.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you. Here is Kimberly on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to make a couple comments. First of all, I want to say that sex is very important to women. It's not more important to men than it is to women.
It's not as important to women.
Just as important to women.
Secondly, not as important as it is to men.
Let me finish.
Not as important as it is to men, because men look at nude magazines. Men look at nude magazines. Women don't look at nude magazines. Do they?
How do you know?
Because I know they don't.
Well, and maybe they don't need to, because they have enough of it without having to resort to a magazine.
Enough of what? Nude men?
Yeah. Anyway, you don't need to have a hard on to please a woman either. There are many ways that you could please a woman, and if you're really true.
All right, thanks a lot. This is the best of what we're getting. You know, we had a great first half hour. What happened? Here is Kara on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I cannot believe this guy. He's such a loser. All he cares about is talking about sex, and, you know, it has nothing to do with politics. He's, you know, probably sitting there masturbating. He's asking girls what they're wearing, you know, if their jaw unhinges. You know, what kind of sicko are you?
If they're John Hinges, yeah. You know, that is, the lady that I met last night was a Republican.
You know, I don't care about the lady you met last night. What does what you did last night...
Why did you talk about a woman's jaw unhinging?
It was a natural...
Watch your language.
It's just a way to break the ice.
To ask a woman if... Ask a woman if she takes her teeth out?
Yeah.
No, it is not. That's ridiculous.
Well,
you
ma'am...
You know, did you call into this radio show to get yourself off because you couldn't last night?
Ma'am, all I'm saying is I came this close last night, and then I realized Democrats might take control of Congress, and then the whole thing went like a wet towel.
But what does that have... You know, what does calling this radio station have to do... You know, about politics have to do with your sex life and whether
you
can get it up.
I just told you.
Well, that has nothing to do with the conversation, though.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely not.
There's a woman, Vicki Miller of Sherman Oaks, is falling in love with me deeply.
And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to say her name.
Quit saying her name, okay?
All right, but she's falling in love with me.
You know, I really.
What makes you think?
Was a setup,
what makes you think that this woman is falling in love with you when she got up and left after you quote had dysfunction?
I could see it in her eyes that she thought I was intelligent. Okay.
That is ridiculous.
Okay, Cara.
Your intelligence is, you know, right below the belt.
And the other thing about women is, like I was trying to explain to the two other women, you guys don't care about sex the way men do.
Well, that depends on the woman. That depends on the woman. And don't see me, because I'll tell you, I'm not going to discuss my sexual preferences with you while you sit there moaning about some lady taking her teeth out. That's crazy.
Do you like men or do you like women?
That's none of your business.
See, I can't get a break.
What do you care, man? We're talking about Gore and his speech. Thank you. Here is Evelyn on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to talk to your, I'd like to make a comment to your host or your guest or whatever he is. He picked this woman up in the bar.
I happen to be a guest, ma'am.
Your guest. You picked this woman up in a bar and you took her home on the first night. So evidently she went home with you to have sex.
I don't know. She was very much enthralled with the conversation we were having about George Bush.
She met you the first night. She took you. She went home with you. She went home with you to have sex.
How do you know?
Why else would a woman go home with you on the very first night?
Because she was enthralled with the conversation about George Bush.
Well, I thought you didn't speak about that conversation until you got to the hotel or just until you got to your mom's home.
We were talking about it all the way to my mom's house.
All right. So when you got home, did you continue to talk about it?
Yes, we did.
Well, when did you begin talking sexually?
Well,
what made you take your underwear off to get in the bed?
I don't recall. All I know is I was removing my pants.
Did she ask you to remove your pants?
No, she did not.
Let me ask a better question. Was she taking her clothes off?
No, she was not.
So what made you think she wanted to have sex with you at all?
Well, I felt that I could tell.
Wait a minute, Larry. Wait a minute. Were you just got it?
As soon as we got in, yeah.
As soon as you got in the door, you started taking your pants off.
Yeah.
That's why she left.
That's why what?
That's why she left, because as soon as you got there, she started taking her pants off, and evidently she didn't like what she saw, or she didn't like the reason you had brought her home.
Well, I think that hurts.
I didn't hear that.
That hurts.
Well, that's the truth. They say the truth hurts.
That's what they say.
Yeah, Phil, I'd like to say something to you. Your show is entertaining.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Well, anyway, we had one half of a good hour there. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. So I was watching George Bush. Did I ever tell the Secret Service story when I was in Georgia? I was watching George Bush yesterday leaving the whatever the hell it was he was leaving. I don't know what he was leaving. But he had a whole bunch of Secret Service guys standing around him. And those guys, obviously, they look really serious. They look really hardcore. And it reminded me of my encounter with the Secret Service, but I'm almost sure that I told this story on the air. Well, if I did, I did. If I didn't, if you didn't hear it, good. Because I had a run-in with the Secret Service in Georgia changing a flat tire. I was changing a flat tire in Atlanta on a freeway on-ramp, and it just so happened that the president at that time, George Bush Sr., was giving a town hall meeting, having one of these TV town hall meetings over at the TV station, and it happened to be just two blocks from where I was changing my flat tire. Well, he was wrapping up, and the Secret Service, anytime a president is about to embark on a overland auto route someplace, they go ahead and they check the route out to make sure there aren't a lot of creeps and no suspicious characters along the route. So that's exactly what they did. Before President Bush was to leave the TV station, the Secret Service went ahead. Well, guess who happened to be fixing a flat tire in the middle of George Bush's route to wherever it was? I think he was going to North Georgia. Yours truly. And I'm fixing this flat, and it was like a sunny day, and I'm like, you know, squeaking the lug wrench. And out of the corner of my eye, peripherally, I see the Georgia State Patrol pull in front of my car, and one of these powder blue Ford LTDs, or whatever the hell they were driving back then, with the antennas coming up, and two guys sitting in the front seat with the sunglasses, staring at me like those robots in THX-1138. Just no facial expression. Just, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It was just like something out of a, you know, remember the cop in Psycho when he went up to the window?
Yeah, you're driving the license plate.
Or the way the Blues Brothers first looked when they
were musicians, ma'am.
Or the guys from Matrix. Yeah. All those dudes from Matrix, those are what these Secret Service guys look like. And they pull up next to me and they go, how long is it going to be? And I said, you know what, man, it's going to be not long at all. I suddenly realized what I was in the middle of, and I'm changing this flat. You will never see a flat tire changed as fast as the one that I'm changing right now. And they just had that look about them. Oh, you're not going to screw with these guys, you know. You know, we were talking about that one guy, the one Secret Service agent that was when Reagan got shot back in 80. And that one guy, that Irish Secret Service guy, I forget the guy's name, but he turned around, took the slug. I mean, that happens to be their job. They have to turn around and take the fire. If there's a gun being fired and if it's pointed at the president, they got to turn around. They have to take the force of the fire. They have to literally stop the bullet. And that poor guy, I remember seeing the videotape of him. He was lifted off the ground with the force of that slug from Hinckley's gun. Meanwhile, Reagan, probably that saved Reagan's life because Reagan was right behind him. And Reagan got pushed into the limo and off they go. And this poor guy, and I don't know his name, and I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I don't believe he's still a Secret Service agent. And I heard somewhere where that guy's life really didn't go so well after that event. Like maybe he began questioning his mortality and all of that stuff, you know. And then, of course, I'm talking here to my good friend Jeff, and he says to me, isn't this the year 2000? I said, yeah. He says, okay, isn't it like every 20 years? And I go, oh, God, you had to bring that up. But it's true. Now, the only guy since 18, I went back as far as 1840. I went back as far as 1840, and every guy has died in office except for Reagan. Reagan finally was the only guy that survived, and he got shot. Did you see West Wing last night? Anybody watch that last night? Wasn't there an assassination attempt on the president last night? It wasn't? Okay. Because I was looking at the previews of that. Maria and I were going to watch that, and then I said, screw this. Let's go up and read some Ann Rule books. Let's go up and read some true crime. And she goes, okay, which is our code for... Anyway, and... I said, God, how can they have an episode of West Wing where the president gets shot? Isn't that kind of like encouraging it, or isn't that going to give some kook an idea? And then I thought to myself, what kook? The kook's got all the ideas. There's no way you're going to put any kooky idea into a kook. He's got all the kooky ideas he's ever going to need. Oh, he got shot at the end of last season. Well, anyway, so Jeff says to me, isn't this the year 2000? I said, yeah. Well, it's an even ending. It's an even number at the end of the year. I said, yeah. Well, that means he's, you know, there's another, like, bad scene. And I go, oh, Jesus, you're right. Reagan got shot. Well, we know what happened to Kennedy. Dwight Eisenhower, or what's his name? Franklin Roosevelt got a bad headache. Warren G. Harding wasn't looking too good. McKinley shook some guy's hand who was holding a gat. Garfield took one in the back. How'd you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln? And Andy Jackson, Andy by God Jackson. Wasn't he the guy that got elected in 1840? I think he got iced. Didn't Andy Jackson get greased with a bow and arrow? Andrew Jackson's the only president who got assassinated with a bow and arrow. And therefore I say that the... Oh, Mr. President. Like one of those guys in a Clint Eastwood movie. Ooh, you know, the arrow goes through the guy's shoulder. Oh, it's not an even year. You're right, Mike. It's all the years that end in zero. Yeah, Andy by God Jackson, he got killed with a lawn dart. So that's when they decided. And I know that President Kennedy, his kids loved lawn darts until Carolyn was wrestled to the ground by the Secret Service because she was about ready to toss one. You know, that really bugs me that they outlawed lawn darts, man. I was going to buy some for the kids, and they outlawed freaking lawn darts. Are you telling me one of those came down through the head of some kid? Oh, come on. And then there was James Monroe. He died from a croquet ball accident to the head. I don't know what happened. Dolly Madison killed her husband with all that lousy pastry stuff she was making. Was Dolly Madison really into pastries, or was she just buxom and they decided to name a donut company after her? I think she was, oh, Dolly Madison was supposedly a very, she was the first lady who really entertained a lot. And she had a lot of parties and a lot of crap. And I think she made ice cream or some kind of a donut, and I think she was like a 44 double D. She was stacked. I don't know what it was, but they named a donut company after her. So, yeah, that's the whole thing. By the way, I saw the speech last night, and I said, like so many of you, I said, now there's the guy that I voted for. What happened to him? Jesus, what happened to you, Al? By the way, she and Betsy Ross did needlepoint together a lot. Is that what Dolly Madison did? So am I right or am I wrong about that? Then you go all the way back to 1820. Who's the president then? I don't know. But I think he got greased with a bow and arrow or something. That's what happened. A stagecoach accident. He was hit and run by the Pony Express. And then 1800 was who? Jefferson? Wasn't he lynched by his slaves? Well, at least this isn't Italy, you know. It's still like, well, you know, in 1940, Mussolini, he was hung upside down at a gas station. It's year 2000, same thing's going to happen to you, Enrique. Okay. At least we don't have to deal with that. At least we don't have in our history, none of our presidents were hung upside down at gas stations with their mistresses. You know, they die. Yes, there have been assassinations, but none of them got drugged behind a car. Oh, I'm just getting the word now. Jefferson died in some bizarre rose garden accident is the only thing that I'm getting. Yeah, none of our presidents were put against a wall in the town square and shot. Or stoned to death. You know, or taken up and summarily executed in the courtyard of a bakery or something. See? There's a lot to be thankful for, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.